for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, December the 25th, 1997. Midwinter Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Paul Fernandez is the teacher of the evening.
The Lord is high in the heavens. Yea, I am a holy God, saith the Lord. And I've opened my heart, and I shall give out gifts even in this meeting. Yea, I shall give unto thee as you give back unto me. Worship me and praise me, my people. And truly I shall bring thee up, and I shall bring thee over. For truly I have a bounty. I have a great chest of gifts that I want to give thee in this hour, saith the Lord. So seek me, yea, cry out for me in this hour. For surely I shall not forsake thee. But if thou wilt forsake me, know that I shall forsake thee. But I am with thee, and I am causing you to come up higher as you praise me. And as you worship me, so fear not. Fear not man. Fear not the face of man. Yea, for it's a snare. But fear thou God, and thou shalt rise up above your circumstances. You'll rise up against your trials and over your trials, for I'm with thee. And those gifts shall be given, saith God, because of my love and my grace, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord. For the Lord does raise up his ministries in this hour. He does raise up the apostles and prophets. He does raise up the seers, those that shall see and discern, saith the Lord. Those that shall hear a word, yea, behind them, saying, this is the way, walk in, and when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. For yea, I shall raise them up in this hour, and I shall shake the land. I shall shake the church. I shall shake the body. I shall shake the people. But know that after the shaking, there will be a people that shall stand. There shall be a people that shall stand with my kingdom within thee. For I possess them, and they possess me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You've looked to the left and you've looked to the right. You've looked to the front and you've looked to the rear. But look to me. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I, the Lord, have started your faith, and I shall finish it. Yea, set your affection upon me even in this time. Set your mind above, saith the Lord, not on the things on the earth. For yea, I shall meet your needs. As you seek forth the kingdom of God first, then your needs shall be met. Seek me, saith the Lord. Yea, seek me, not the house of God, but seek the God of the house. And I am with thee, and I shall help thee. I shall cause you to overcome, saith the Lord. And I'll give you the tongue of the learned, because I've also given you the ear of the learned. Yea, I shall open your eyes even in this meeting, and some shall have visions and see angels in the midst, saith the Lord.
Brother Tommy's going to come here and greet us all. We've already met him here in the prophetic word that just came forth, but he's going to come and greet us and say hello and maybe bring a word for a few minutes. And then brother and sister Paul and Eve Fernandez will come and conclude the service this evening.
I'm very glad you're here tonight. Let's give the Lord a good hand. We got here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to just give you a scripture tonight. It's good to be back to Lake Hamilton. And we come about every meeting with Bill and Coffees and Jack and different ones. You know, this place really is a place God's raised up to help people, to save people.
Yes.
Fill, heal, deliver, and do a great work of maturity. I don't know of any other place like it. I'm sure there may be. But you know, they bring in the fivefold ministry. How many thank God for all the ministries that God's raising up? Today. Look in Job with me. I just want to read a scripture before our brother comes. I want to look in, I think it's Job 14, and I may be touching on this tomorrow night if the Lord wills. I mean, like Glenn said, everything is subject to His will, right? Praise God. We didn't come to do our will anyway. We come to do His will. Praise God. Verse 14. 14:14. If a man die. Do men die today? Sure. Physically. But how many on eternity, I mean, in the next life, they're not dead. I mean, you may shed the body, but how many you're still living? If a man die, shall he live again? Well, yes, he will. Whether he be a sinner or whether he be a saint. Isn't that right? We're going to live someplace, heaven or hell, or be here with the Lord on the earth or in that place we don't want to be. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. So we got those that die have to wait for their body. Isn't that right? Till my what? My chains come. How many believe He's changing us even today?
Amen.
As we submit to Him.
Yes.
The change has taken place on the inside. Now, how many know there's two resurrections?
Yes.
first and second, but there's also an inward resurrection and an outward resurrection. And how many know it's important to get the inward resurrection set straight in our life in order for that to happen out there? And so I'm going to be talking on some of that tomorrow night. And so I just want to let you know that there is going to be a resurrection. Hallelujah. But we're in resurrection life right now. We don't have to wait till next year or next 10 years or 5 years, whatever it may be physically out there. We can enjoy resurrection life right now. Amen? And so we're going to be dealing with that as the Lord directs. May God bless you. Praise the Lord.
I guess Brother Paul's going to come and introduce his wife, Eve. And I'll have to get you turned on here. Come on up here. This is Brother Paul and Eve Fernandez from over in northeast Mississippi is where they call home when they're there, which is very seldom. We met them at the minister's conference that we had here in October. And we've asked them to come back and minister with us here for a couple of times before they have to travel on Saturday morning. And I'll get you turned on over there.
Come on, sir. That's green. Go. All right. Hallelujah. Well, we're Paul and Eve Fernandez, Flaming Sword Ministries of Baldwin, Mississippi. And I know we don't look like very much, but the Lord thinks we're something. Lord thanks for something. And he says, get out and be seen.
Amen.
And we are humbled to be in your presence.
It's an unusual ministry. But like Brother Tommy said, that's what we're supposed to be.
He had one lie down in the gate of the city for about a year's time. Looked terrible there. But God does all kind of things to make a point. He told us one time to go to a particular place, and we began preparing for it. We had just finished a home that he moved us into, moved us up to Mississippi from Miami, Florida, and there were still some concrete blocks out in the backyard. And one of the first things we realized, which I think just about everybody does, you ain't got enough room. So we ordered a storage thing out in the backyard, where them concrete blocks had weeds growing all up around them, and they're going to deliver it the next day. So I got out there with a weed eater to kind of clean that area out. And as I was going along with the thing, well, I felt something in the back of my leg around the ankle area. I'd read a story years before in the Saturday Evening Post, in case some of you don't know that was a magazine. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, glad to hear that. I understand my grandfather wouldn't allow it in his house because it was non-union. But my mama read it anyway. And a lady in there had an article about, she was working in her vegetable garden and a snake bit her. And she described how it felt, and that's exactly what this felt like. Well, I immediately turned around saying Mark 16, 17, 18, and didn't see anything. Looked, couldn't find anything. So went on in the house and told her, and she got a magnifying glass, and looked, she couldn't find any holes. But I was convinced I was snake bit. Next morning, the man came by 6 o'clock to deliver the storage thing, and I had it all ready for him there, and he said, okay. Before I could get back in the house, good, he called me back, and he said, now, come on back here. He said, I brought a gun. I've got a gun there in the car. And if you want, I'll kill these two copperheads that are in the concrete blocks here. And now, I'd done a little snake hunting myself as a kid, so I know, you know, one from the other. But he showed me them intertwined there inside that block. He said, see there, that's the male and that's the female, two copperheads. And he shot them. And we continued to prepare for our trip that was going to come up this Sunday. And except for a little soreness in the back of my ankle, well, you know, that was about all that happened. Well, she had a couple of cushions sunning out in the yard. And appreciate now, her daddy, a farmer, gave us the land to build a house on. It had been a soybean field. And, you know, in other words, we were, in a very, very unusual sense, pioneers. And she went out to pick up her cushion, and there was a copperhead, not too anxious to move from that Sonny Spotty was sitting in. So she called me, and I didn't care whether he moved or not. I just took a machete and, you know, chopped him up in a few pieces. But then we had a predicament. She wasn't about to get in a trailer with snakes on the grounds. So I had to search the trailer before we could leave. I won't get in it until you search every bit of it and make absolutely certain there's no snake in that thing anywhere. Well, I got to searching in places that I don't guess hardly anybody had ever been in the thing. Had a number of owners before us. We'd had it for a few years. And I found a little bank envelope way back up under something there with $562 cash in it. So we were ready to take our trip. And we went where the Lord told us to go and got there about 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon and come down the interstate ramp and stopped at the convenience store and looked in the phone book and prayed and couldn't quite decide exactly where the church was we were to go to. But then the Lord spoke and said, go east to the edge of town and you'll find it. So we obligingly drove out there, and just as we were approaching the city limit sign, there was a church on the left with a sign in front of it with a man and lady pastor. And it got, as we went by, you know. Well, we went just beyond the city limit into a shopping center, stopped and prayed. The Lord said, you found it. Now go on back and contact them. So I got the phone number off of it, called them up. The wife answered the phone. I told her who we were and these strange circumstances. And I said, now, could we come out and visit? She said, no. But we're having services tonight, Sunday night, and if you want to come, you're welcome. I said, well, we're pulling a long trailer behind us. Would it be all right to put that on your grounds? And she said, you can stay overnight. Well, it was the Labor Day weekend, and the temperature was right to where we didn't need air or heat. So, you know, we just opened the windows, prepared for the evening service. And I asked her before I hung up, I said, will you ask your husband to pray about this? Well, when people started arriving, we got out and went over to the church, and I asked, where is the pastor? That's him back there. Okay, well, I went and introduced myself. He says, yes. He said, my wife told me you called, and I considered this. He said, now, brother so-and-so over on the west side of town takes people like you. He said, but we're a word church, and we don't take outsiders. Well, I still ain't figured out what that means, but, I mean, you know, it was pretty obvious it was a rejection. I could figure that much out. But I've been rejected on a whole lot of things, a whole lot of times in my life, because without bragging, I made $1 million knocking on doors, and that's about 99% no. But he says, if you want to stay for the service, you can do that. So I went back and told Eve, let's sit down. And we sat in the middle aisle, in the middle of the church, and the praise singers sang. And they went back and sat down, everybody except the piano player. And the wife was going to speak. And she come up with her microphone, got all ready to speak, and the piano player started playing the piano. And she started singing in tongues. Now, not like, you know, we normally hear, but it was syllabic. In other words, she was singing a song in a language that you couldn't understand. And after a bit, you know, well, I kind of give Eve a pull. I said, listen to the words she's singing. You of the flaming sword, you of the flaming ministry, let all men know that you are where I have sent you. And do not be embarrassed or ashamed, because any rejection they give is of me, not you. You know, kind of slunk down in our seat. The pastor, the lady, she just started preaching. Didn't, you know, faze her in any way. When the service was all over, people did something there that I haven't seen anywhere else in a church of that setting. I've seen where, you know, people go out when the service is over and the pastor's at the door and they shake hands. But the pastor was standing up here and the people came up here and shook hands with him. And, you know, they came up the middle and went out the side. It was a ritual. And left. So we got in line and we come up there. And when I got to him, you know, he says, brother, the Lord told me to give you the offering tonight. It's $39. There's about twice as many people there as there are here. Now, the calling on this ministry is to preach his word boldly, to heal his people, and to deliver messages to his people. The work of the ministry is to carry that out as he instructs it, with the main theme being growth in the Spirit. And that's where it's been since the beginning. We're just about 20 years together now in this. In the morning, I got up about 5 o'clock and walked around the grounds praying. And the Lord gave me a scripture, which I don't really remember what it was, but it said something about when strangers, you know, appear. And I was reading it at the time in the Living Bible. They told me to leave a card in the door, and I put that scripture on it and left it in the door. So we delivered a message to that man. It's not our problem of what, you know, what he did with it. We just do our part and go on. He's told me not to ask questions. Tonight he says he's going to heal. And we profess and we believe on the scripture that says that when the word goes out, it will not return void. And we're going to listen to that tonight. We're going to ask you to keep it on your heart. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what you believe, regardless of how you're accustomed or experienced, don't miss what God has for you tonight. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let it come upon you. If God's got something for you, grab it. Grab it. Grab it. And he's not a respecter of persons, so he ain't going to overlook you. Everybody here. And we've had many instances in little, small settings and in very large churches where everybody from the pastor on down receive a manifestation of a healing during the service. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to bring the word, but Sister Eve's going to bring it in a different way. She's going to bring it in song. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to say that I'm delighted to be here. Paul has to introduce his snake story, but I'm so thankful that he didn't tell you the one where I fainted. Praise the Lord. I know he was trying to get the message to you what the ministry is, but we are blessed to be here. I'm going to sing a little song tonight that I pray that it will bless everybody in this house. If I should ask you to hold up your hand if you had a problem, which I'm not, no matter how big it was, how enormous or how much it hurt, no matter what the struggle is, whether it was a marriage or a family crisis of illness, there's not many people in this room that wouldn't have something. Do you believe God can fix it? Amen. Amen. That's the title of the song. Go ahead, brother. It was a lively crowd, very large and loud, when Jesus passed by that way. Nobody saw this little woman at all as she passed through the crowds that day. For 12 long years she suffered, but she said down in her soul, if I could only touch his garment, well, God's gonna fix it, I know. God's gonna fix it, I know. God's gonna fix it, I know. Whenever my heart is broken, whenever I'm feeling low, well, I don't have to worry. My master's in control. I go to the problem solver. God's gonna fix it, I know. When the doctor man says, well, it's out of my hands, there's nothing more
I can do.
When your family gets around so defeated and down because your life is almost through, think about this little woman reaching out to touch his holy robe. And with faith and determination, say it, God's gonna fix it, I know.
Yeah.
God's gonna fix it, I know.
I know.
God's gonna fix it, I know. Whenever my heart is
broken whenever I'm a feeling low. Well, I don't have to worry. My master's in control. I go to the problem solver, and God's gonna fix it, I know. Come on, sing it. God's gonna fix it, I know.
Yeah.
God's gonna fix it, I know. Whenever my heart is broken, whenever I'm a feeling low, well, I don't have to worry. My master's in control. I go to the problem solver, and God's gonna fix it, I know. I go to the problem solver. My God's gonna fix it, I know. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. Praise the Lord. How do we get things fixed? Through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He's laid down the prescription. We just have to walk in the truth of it. Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Praise the Lord. Then he opened up a door that you and I can get into that those disciples had to wait a long time. You know it? They followed him 3 years before they could walk into that upper room and receive the power. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about the Comforter that the Bible said would lead us home. Jesus said that we'd have power when the Holy Ghost comes down. Well, I'm filled with that promise that has brought new life to me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you, you must have this fire and Holy Ghost will. This prayer will a turning that keeps that fire burning. That kind of experience that you can feel, that'll make you move. It'll make you shout, make you cry, cause it's real. I've got my hand, oh, in my Father's hand, and my soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. I'm free from sin, and I know that I've been born again. Let me tell you now. Through many toils and dangers, oh yes, I have overcome. Jesus opened blinded eyes. He's made the lame to walk. Well, there's nothing our God cannot do. Now is the time for you to seek Him. Let Him feel you within. He'll make you whole as His presence fills your soul.
Hallelujah.
And you will be born again. You must have this fire and Holy Ghost. Well, this prayer wheel of turning that keeps that fire a burning. That kind of experience that you can feel, that'll make you move, make you shout, make you cry, cause it's real. I've got my hand, oh, in my Father's hand, and my soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. I'm free from sin, and I know that I've been born again. Yes, yes, you must have this fire and Holy Ghost. Well, this prayer wheel a turning that keeps that fire a burning. That kind of experience that you can feel, that'll make you move, make you shout, make you cry. 'Cause it's real. I've got my hand, oh, in my Father's hand, and my soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. I'm free from sin, and I know that I've been born. I've been born again. I know that I've been born again. I've passed from death to the light. I love everybody. I don't care what race they are, what color they are, what school they come from, what building they live in. I know that I've been born again by the Holy Spirit. I've been born by the breath of Jesus Christ to receive His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I know. I know. No doubt about it. I know that I've been born again. Woo.
Yeah.
I've been born again. I've been born again.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll go to the, begin at the 33rd verse. And you read it out of whatever you got. I've got the NIV in front of me. And Jesus says, I may have added a couple of little King James places here, but make a tree good, and his fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and his fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by his fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Father, it's your word. It's your words. It's your trees. It's your thing. It's your anointing. Help me, Father, to get out of your way and let what you want happen. And we praise you in Jesus' name. That's frightening. If you really hear it, it's bringing terror into you right now. Because he says, for every careless word you have spoken. Yeah, nobody's eliminated. Now, where would we be with the law? Only grace can handle this. So it bears a whole lot of study and review here. Jesus is putting every one of us on the spot. Where are you tonight? He says, make a good tree or make a bad tree. Does it kind of sound something like his challenge to the Laodicean church? Get hot or get cold, but don't stay warm. He's going to spit you out. Still scary. Make a good tree or make a bad tree. A good tree is something valuable, something virtuous, something miraculously powerful, something supernaturally capable, something abundantly strong. Jesus is talking about people, but he's talking in a heavenly sense. He's talking about heavenly trees. Spiritual structures. Hallelujah. A bad tree is corrupt, bad, worthless, useless. An unusable ministry, disconnected, Because you see, as I'm sure just about everybody here knows, a tree represents a ministry. You're disconnected. You're not in accord. You're non-complying. You're either unanointed, carnal, self-serving, self-determined, opinionated. You're a mouth without ears. Think about it. Denominational fits it. You're in reality a worldly tree in Satan's control. It's time for change. Time to look at what Jesus is charging you with here. Make a good tree or a bad tree and expect fruit accordingly. He told all the things that he made to multiply themselves like themselves. But he made man different. We're not supposed to multiply ourselves like ourselves. We're supposed to become and create an offspring that will be like unto him. The definition of make is a single act by agreed appointment to bring forth without delay, banded together, purpose to the fulfilling performance of ordained execution. Comply in time and in obedience, in other words, with what God wants to do with you. And it's interesting, I think, that he points out that your words make your tree good or bad. Words that come out of your heart, not out of your head. They form your fruit. They either condemn or acquit. You stand on the judgment seat before God, or on the block, rather, condemned or acquitted by what you say. Your words are your seeds. Seeds make life. Life and seeds flow in the blood. Blood carries life and seeds, which make more life. That's a theme we're going to try to follow here. Matthew 5:16, following the Beatitudes, Jesus lays out how to live according to his precepts. And then he says, in the same way, your good deeds bring praise to the Father. So now, it's not just what you say, but it's what you do. They can't be separated. And now we can go further. John 8:42-44. He says, you cannot hear his words because you belong to your father, the devil. What you hear then determines your seed. In John 3:3, he confronts this interesting character, Nicodemus, who is a sort of a spy when he starts out. See, it don't hurt to come in contact with the Word. No telling what may happen. There used to be a Catholic priest down in South Florida on Trinity Broadcasting that, you know, his testimony was that the bishop sent him into them weirdos to spy on them. And he got hooked. Yeah. He got a great big church down there in Pompano Beach now, about 20,000 people or something. Hallelujah. Call them charismatics. Well, Nicky comes in and says, hey, we know you're something special. We know that the things you're doing are not of this world. You must come from heaven. And they want me to ask you some questions. He don't care what your questions are. He's going to get to the meat of it right now. If you are going to see the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. Nicky can't figure it out. He says, now I tell you as clear as I know how to talk to you, that if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, You must be born again. See and enter. Observe and experience. He don't know what he's talking about. You've got to change your genes if you're going to call the Father Abba. And I ain't talking about, you know, these kind of genes. The inside kind of genes has got to be changed in you. You got to get a new mama, new daddy. You got to be made over again in a new fashion, a new way. Born of the water, but born of the Spirit next. And Nicodemus cannot understand it. But that's where it's at. Matthew 11:27, he says, no one knows the Father except the Son and His. Those who come through the blood from the cross of Calvary. Only them who receive that blood and let the work occur that happens in that process of transformation from the natural realm to the spiritual realm is the only way. Father, Son, and His adopted brothers. Hallelujah. In Matthew 23:9, call no man on earth father. You cannot be a son of Satan or man and of God as well. Now, we get all messed up. You know, we're trying to figure out Catholicism here in facing this scripture. And in my opinion, don't have anything to do with it. But I ain't trying to put my opinion on you. I was talking to Brother Glenn out here this afternoon. He's checking me out. I want to make sure I wasn't going to say anything about the rapture. Amen. I'm enraptured right now. Hallelujah. Because I know what the word means. Now, you know, if you're going to apply that in a natural sense, then if Paul called Timothy son, I just ask you without, you know, discussing it further, what did Timothy call Paul? Case closed. He ain't talking about anything like that at all. What he's talking about is a spiritual thing. Yes, call no man God. Carve up your little piece of wood. Chisel up your little piece of stone. Go out and find yourself some kind of a guru. And you done check God out of your life. I'm trying. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:10. He says, if you are a bad tree, then you're going to be cut down and cast into the fire. So that's where you're headed if you don't change. And 1 Peter 1:23 says, the good tree is born again of imperishable seed that will not perish. Only the Holy Spirit of God can create that kind of a seed and that kind of a tree. Now, Satan is figuring out every kind of a device he can to mess this thing up. God's got a plan. And it's coming down through the generations in the genes. And Satan is fighting it all along. He's trying to mess up the blood that the seeds produce. He grabs hold of Adam and Eve. And he gets them to choose the natural tree instead of the tree of life. And the result is thorn curses on mankind. Bad trees. But with the curse always comes hope. With the curse comes the promise that the seed of woman will one day crush the head of that serpent. Hallelujah. So he tries another thing. He gets his army of demons to implant the Nephilim seed, the seed of giants, into the wombs of women. And as a result, he destroys all but a few of the human race. He makes them into a bunch of hybrids. And another curse. Curse of water this time. The flood. But then comes hope again. Through that seed
through that promise, through Noah, remains a strain. Hallelujah. That will lead to the messianic age of messianic ministries, which is the thing of today. Messianic is age of anointing, and that's what we're living in. Hallelujah. So he goes again, Babel. He puts rebellious blood in the man. Let's hang together without God. Let's do it our way. This is too good. We got too big a thing going. We're building this great tower. Hey, man, we're going to do it ourselves. We don't need no help from him. And God curses the language. All 2,800 of them. I'm speaking to you under a curse right now. All languages are a curse. But God gives hope. Deuteronomy, Isaiah, them fierce, bold foreigners gonna speak that funny talk. And we had a young lady a few years ago. She and her sister came for deliverance. His sister was really something. But the first one, she was introverted, non-social, looked at her feet, wouldn't look you in the eye, tongue-tied, couldn't talk good. Eve ministered to her. I didn't. I got in on the sister. But Eve asked her, what do you want? She said, I want to talk that funny talk. Huh? That funny talk they talk in church, I want to talk it. Of course, she didn't say anything like that because she couldn't talk good. And when them demons left her, that thing with her tongue left her, and she not only talks in tongues, but she talks good, and she looks you in the eye now, and she comes to church regular. Amen. And she's outgoing. Been at least 5 years now. Hallelujah. Zephaniah says there's going to be a pure speech coming. Hallelujah. Yes, I believe I'm speaking it. Praise God. And then we got Sodom. Well, let's work in the generics. If you don't mix them, you can't continue the strain. So let's have a bunch of nonsense. See, he's sly. He don't win, but he takes a whole lot of them with him. Face up to the realities of where you're at tonight. Point God always finds a good tree for his seed. To receive his seed, you must find his favor. You must come into his good grace. Abraham found his good grace, and Isaac continued the strain we're talking about. He brought forth the promise through the birthing of the barren womb, not the womb of the slave woman. He's the heir of the blood of the promise. And with that comes overcoming power. Ruth valued the seed of the promise enough to leave her native land, to leave her sister, to leave everything that she knew anything about, and follow her mom-in-law back to a strange place she'd never been before, and the man she meets and marries there is listed in the book of Luke as carrying that strain along. Hallelujah. Yes, a direct ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, because she thought more of the promise than she did of herself. Mary spoke the word. In the first chapter of Luke, she says, let it be done according to your word. And the word says she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Now, overshadow, listen to this, means to lie passively prostrate, outstretched, over and above, but upon, touching and enveloping in a brilliant haze or aura, a superimposition which pierces from a realm above in perfect timing. The Holy Spirit literally, actually came down in all of that glorious light and power right upon her and penetrated her in a supernatural way and planted His own seed into her, bringing forth a completion which was the very nature of God. Now, this was a completion in Mary that really was not unlike Adam, and yet it was vastly different. God found Adam to be alone, which means incomplete. He was not lonely. He had all the alligators and zebras and crocodiles and whatever else there was wandering around at that time that he wanted. He had all kinds of responsibility. He had all kinds of things to do. People claimed that he could fly, that he could go underwater like a submarine. That, you know, I mean, he was in charge of all of it. Why not? I'm not going to say he did or he didn't. It's interesting and exciting. But it's also something to argue about. And I'm trying not to argue. But the word means he was incomplete. He was incapable of reproduction. He could not make another like unto God. So God performed a supernatural act of surgery on Adam and made him complete. Hallelujah. Now Mary yielded her womb to the completeness of God and to the bringing forth of a continuation of this seed that would bring forth the promise that God had given from the beginning all along. And we find ourselves alone, incomplete, spiritually incomplete, that's all. But we are completed by the overshadowing of the promise. Amen. With the infilling of the Holy Spirit into our reborn bodies, or spirits rather, we become family of God. Yes. We become what He intended us to be in the creation. Adam knew Eve, and she conceived in the natural. Mary knew the Holy Spirit. She conceived and stayed a virgin. He touched her in a miraculously magnificent way. This union brought God and man together. Overcame Satan. And brought man into the family of God. And made man into something totally, entirely different from what he ever was before. We don't think about that enough. You know, it's like thinking about the universe is why we don't. You know, the more you learn about the universe, the more your head hurts. Yeah, amen. I mean, it's too much. It's too much. We really are not finite, but we make ourselves that way. We limit ourselves. We restrict ourselves. Do you realize? I know you don't, and I don't. We can't totally comprehend all that's available to us, all that God wants us to be, and all that God wants us to do. He wants us hearing, seeing, thinking, living, acting, doing and performing by His mind, not ours. Revelation 12:11 says that we overcame. I mean, it's already happened. We done won the battle. By the blood of the Lamb. By our spoken word of testimony. Where's your testimony? What have you done in the Spirit overcoming the devil that can be written down and read 10 billion years from now? But more terribly, maybe tonight. What have you done? And there's a third provision that most don't even remember to say. Valuing the seed of the promise over the seed of carnal life. Willing to die. Willing to put your body on the altar. Willing to be immolated, burned up by the Spirit of Almighty God. To make your body a living sacrifice, acceptable to the service of Almighty God. that overshadowing, you see, that comes down into each one of us, brought new genes. Jesus carried the genes of man and God equally. And you should be doing the same thing. Genes are your makeup. They're in the blood. They're in the seed. They're natural and spiritual both. Deuteronomy 5:9 says the seed carries your iniquities to the fourth generation. Deeds reflect attitude. Attitude is reflected by words and actions as well. And there are spirits by the, I guess, billions. One man had at least 2,000. We've counted dozens in people, and we hardly know what we're doing. But these spirits tempt, haunt, obsess, oppress, and possess. How you react to them determines how you live. And the attacking spirits who gain entry will live not only in you, but in your children and your children's children and their children. We're always talking about what we inherit, but what about we pass on? That's the scary part. Again, what you do, what you say, what you hear, what you see, what you think, it all brings this about. You repel and you overcome with the blood of Jesus and your attitude towards the promise. Do you receive it? You see, your means to overcoming is in your spiritual genes. You can make a tree that will grow up long after you're dead and gone. Think about it. Your children and your children's children and their children can be the result of the good genes that you generate by allowing God to use you His way. We were called one night, our last night in Miami once, taken by a medical doctor to the home of another medical doctor who was a chief of staff of a small hospital there. He was a neurosurgeon, really fancy. You know, what they call it, salt, pepper, you know, the hair. He had about three different shades and, you know, more than me. I look pretty wild coming in here today, but Eve insisted on giving me a haircut, so I'm a little trimmed up. I guess she didn't want me to say that, but I vacuumed the floor in the trailer when it was over. But we went over to that man's house about 9 o'clock at night. He had a son that was having seizures, and they had given every kind of test they knew. And again, this is a neurosurgeon, chief of staff of a hospital. And they could find nothing organically wrong with him. But we learned real quick that he was seeing his deceased grandfather. And we began testifying to this, you know, professional man that it, I believe, I'm not sure of this, but by observation, I believe he probably went to church, you know, Easter. But I don't know that. And I wouldn't, you know, try to judge him that way. But he wasn't very religious. But he was very scientific and very professional. And whatever we would tell him, he'd say, can you substantiate that? Well, it just so happened, you know, we're talking about the lady that died in Jackson Memorial Hospital, you know, and they had to keep all the stuff on her for 72 hours and stuck the thing under her pillow and had to nurse changed the recording, you know, keep the word going in his in her ear the whole time. And when the 72 hours was up, you know, they unplugged her and she got up out of, you know, bed, and her and the nurse and the husband all accepted Christ. So can you substantiate that? Yeah, well, we can substantiate. And then he says, well, now let me ask you about this. He said, I saw something one time. He said, I saw this figure of a man from the back, and then he turned around and had his terribly gargoylish face. He says, are you saying I saw a demon? And before I could say yes, Eve says, led by the Spirit of God, I can not only tell you that you saw a demon, but I'll tell you where you saw it. And his wife had been very distant, you know, wishing these weirdos had never come, and more so that we would get out of her house. You know, she didn't say anything, but she's standing back there, you know. very aloof, but at that point she says, "Where?" And Eve took him by the hand, Dr. Bernie Zampano, and walked him from the family room into the kitchen in front of the sink, and she says, "Right there." And we said, "How would you and your wife like to accept Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior forever?" And they said, "Yeah, sounds good." About that time, the boy walked in, and he had a buddy with him. We explained to them what was going on, and they joined right in, and the family accepted Jesus. We left there after instructing him for a couple of hours in deliverance, recommending a couple of churches to him in the area. He got into one of them, got filled with the Holy Spirit, got into deliverance, and Oral Roberts hired him and put him in charge of pain and neurosurgery at the City of Faith Hospital until, you know, they sold the thing. And he left, and he's pastoring a church down in Miami now, writing a 1,000-page book. We saw him last time we were down there a little over a year ago, and he told a testimony at the service and then introduced disciples and disciples of disciples. So, you see, we say we got some genes working. Hallelujah. We got some generics going here. We've got great-grandchildren in the Lord. And I'm sure a lot of you do, too. Praise God. But Deuteronomy 5:10, see, 9 said about if you do it wrong, if you're a bad tree, it goes down 3 or 4 generations. But if you do it good, the good genes are guaranteed for 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Woo! 1,000 generations. Figure it out. Yeah. And 1900. The life expectancy of an American male today is 73. So that's, what, almost double 40,000 years. 70,000 or more. I don't know. I don't know how to figure things like that. Hey, it's a whole lot of generations. And a life, a generation is a life of genes. Ephesians 1:12-13 says, "The gospel marks and seals you with a deposit of guaranteed inheritance." You're marked by the overshadowing. It gives supernatural genes that will go on from generation to generation to generation on into eternity. You're a child of the King. Super impregnated, spiritually conceived Son of God, full of overcoming regenerative power. You're able to make trees. You're able to be a good tree and make good trees. Galatians 3:29 says, "You're fruit of Abraham." And like Ruth, you can't be turned back. Where believers go, you go. Where their God is, there is your God. Choose good genes. Genes you're not ashamed of. And like Mary, you'll be able to say, "What the Spirit says, I will say and I will do." Revelation 12:10 says you can believe, say, and do with the overcomers. Salvation and power have come. The kingdom is here. Their accuser is torn down. He is trod upon. Take dominion, subdue the earth. It means to tread upon. Tread him down. Luke 10:19 says, step on them. Step on them serpents. Step on the scorpions. Step on them. Step on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stomp them down. Tread them down. Put them under your feet. Quit listening to them in your head. Hallelujah. They're liars. You're the overcomer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember what he said? He's going to heal tonight. Praise the Lord. He's going to do it with you sitting right where you're at. You don't have to get up and, you know, come up. Hey, ain't nothing. You know, here, I chew my fingernails a lot anyway, so ain't nothing. No way to put anything under there. We don't have those special juices. God's the one doing it. Let him do it out there. Amen. We're not looking for any glory. There's something with the lips. Teeth. Right in here. Something about a back. Up in the back of the head. across here. Blood. Hair. Something in the growing area of someone. Now, if any of those things apply to you in just the slightest, God wants you to know that He knows. You can stay where you're at, but you need to raise your hand and acknowledge that God must be talking to you. Okay, there's the hands. Hallelujah. All over the place. Almost everybody in here. Praise the Lord. There's a few that didn't raise their hand. Well, that's okay. You got something wrong with you. Amen? There was a guy in Glad Tidings Church in Key West, Florida a few years ago that stood up and testified that he was leaving the Keys and was going someplace up into the United States, I don't remember where, in ministry. And the pastor said, well, now that's great, brother. We'll pray. I don't want your prayer. I'm the one going. I don't need your prayer. And the most fearsome word followed that. So much so that I called the pastor from the mainland the next day and asked him to send me a tape of it. I wanted to see if it was me. And we prayed and prayed, and we realized that man, you know, he got off out into left field. The song Eve sang a while ago about the little lady pressing through the crowd to touch the garment. That's how it happens. See, when she touched him, he felt something come out of him. But she felt something come into her. Now, you who did not raise your hand, you got something wrong with you. And God's ready to touch you, too. He wants to touch everybody here with His healing power right now. So receive it. Receive it. Prepare to be touched by God. Prepare to receive in some way the virtue, the power, the healing of Almighty God. Just let it come on you now. In Jesus' name, receive it. Receive it. Father, send it down. Pour it down. Pour it down. Pour it down. Reach up, church. Reach up and get some of the children's bread. Reach up. It's yours to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, you get your filthy hands off of God's property. Take your trash, your garbage, and get out of here. In Jesus' name, church, be whole. Be whole. Be sozo. Be whole. Be healed. Be saved in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just let it happen. Let it happen. Receive it. Receive it. Feel it. Glory. Hallelujah. If I got a problem walking, well, I could walk right on out of this place. You know, believing that I'm healed. And if you got the problem, I'll agree with you. Because it's Scripture. But, you know, if you can limp out of here believing you're healed, why in the world can't you just walk out? Manifested. Touched by God. Go ahead and be touched. Praise the Lord. Now, the Word says that testimony builds up the church. If anything happened, if you experienced anything at all that would make you think God touched you, you need to raise your hand right now. Okay, praise the Lord. Don't forget who you are. I can't keep track of it. Hallelujah. You put your hand up. Okay, come here. What was it that I said that you had? Okay. A lady here told you that.
No, this is
at your church, a lady told you had a band around here. Okay. That's a curse. Okay. We had a little 17-year-old girl come into a church in Tampa, Florida earlier this year with her mother leading her, blind and screaming and all caved over and like this. And the mama had a baby about that big, in her, maybe that big at the most, in her hands. And she says she's pregnant. She's 17 years old with a baby that big, and she's pregnant. Well, you know, we didn't know if she's miscarriaging or what was going on for a moment, but discernment showed us that wasn't what it was. She had a band around her head. She is blind. She had a great big St. Barbara medallion that big hanging around her neck. Her boyfriend gave her. Took that and threw it across the room. We prayed with her just for a few minutes. Her sight would return. The boyfriend's sister got mad at her and sent a Santeria curse across town over the telephone. And Mama said, something in that room. It hit her. Hallelujah. It's gone. Believe it? Okay. You had something right across here. How's it feel now? You never felt it. She just told you it was there.
Yeah.
What made you believe it was there? Well, what kind of... Did something hurt or... Okay. You were listening to the devil. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, here. Let me have your hands. Renounce your pact with the devil right now. Say it. I renounce my pact with the devil. I break my contract.
I break my contract.
I will not live for you anymore, Satan.
I will not live for you anymore, Satan.
I am the property of Jesus Christ.
I am the property.
I am reborn.
In Jesus.
In Jesus.
I cover myself with the blood of Jesus.
I cover the blood of Jesus. That was shed on the cross of Calvary. And I cast you out of my life. Never to return. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. We drive this out once and for all. Are you ready to live from now on for Jesus alone? And you've gotten into His Word, you say. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues? Okay. All right. And you're into a good Bible teaching church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's your name? Sonia. Good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What did you feel, sister? You felt warmth. Okay. What did you have? Okay, you feel confident that the Lord wants you where you thought He wanted you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where's another hand? Okay, what'd you feel? Huh? Uh-huh. Okay. You got troubles. It ain't pains, it's troubles. You've been where you shouldn't have been too, right? You renounce it all right now.
I will
not go back.
I'll stay out of it.
I don't care what happens. I'm going to stay out of it.
I'm
going to
live for Jesus.
Jesus, I love you.
I'm going to
stay yours. Help me, Jesus. I want to be
yours
completely, totally, and entirely. Keep me yours forever. Satan, get out of my life.
Take your filthy demons
and all your harms and all your hurts.
Take them out of me
and leave now.
I renounce you
and I cast you out right now. In Jesus' name,
go.
Blow it out. Blow it all out. I blow. Blow. That's the way. Blow it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, I drive you from her right now in Jesus' name. Okay, open your eyes. How do you feel?
It's still in my legs.
Your legs.
Okay.
It's still in my legs.
Tell them to go.
Go in the name of Jesus.
Out of my legs.
Out of my
here, it's right here is where it is.
Out of my legs.
Right there. Right there.
In Jesus' name.
It's a paralyzing spirit. You tell the paralyzer to come out of you. Now. And leave and go.
Go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I need you to go in the name of Jesus.
All right, lift your legs up. That's right, move them. Yeah, lift them. Lift them up. Now we speak healing upon you right now. In Jesus' name. Well, you rise them up like Moses did. And overcome. In Jesus' name. And hold them arms up for another minute here. Yeah, that's right. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. You're an overcomer. Believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, you can win a battle, can't you? Hallelujah. What, John?
The headaches or anything.
Okay.
Out, but my knees left.
It all left. Come on up here a minute. Come on up here a minute. Hallelujah. Wiggle them fingers. They don't hurt?
No.
Hallelujah. I'm going to quit because mine might. Here, come on, move them legs some.
I was just sitting there. And they were,
hurting.
They were hurting.
Hallelujah.
They weren't hurting at all now.
Mine aren't either. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I wish I could dance like you.
Go ahead and dance. Now. Go ahead and jump a little. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, something we need to realize is, you know, we get something wrong with us and we get healed and we think we're going to be 16 again, you know? It don't happen that way. We're still what we are. We don't have that thing anymore, but we're not able to do that 6-foot high jump either. Praise the Lord. Brother, we love you. Hallelujah.
You haven't got 87 years.
No, I don't have 87, but I'm going to have 105. That's okay, too. I claimed 100, and then I had a word that said I got 5 more. That's where I got my 105. Praise the living God. Oh. Okay, let me ask a question real quick of everybody in here. Everybody knows, and the word tells you that if you were to die tonight, that you're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And you're either going to heaven or hell. One or the other. There ain't no place else. Purgatory is just an invention of somebody. There's no second chance, no other decision. It's done. When you die, it's over. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Now, my question to you tonight is the most important question you will ever hear and ever have to answer. I'm going to ask you now, if you were to die tonight, do you know for certain that you will go to heaven? If you do, raise your hand now. If you know it, hallelujah. Okay, I checked you out. Looks good. Now, if this was really, you know, a church, and it is a church in one sense, but it was a conventional church, I'd turn to the pastor now and tell him he's got a dead church. There ain't no sinners in his church. Think about it. We want to bless all of you. Thank you for putting up with us. When we were here a few weeks ago, Eve got up at 4 o'clock. I said, where are you going? I'm going to that meeting over there. She was anxious. She was ready, man, and she was over here. She got what she went for. Well, I hope somebody got what you came for tonight. Hallelujah. We love all of you. We'll see you in the morning. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.